Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is Friday night, so once again, it's time for the podcast, the Writers, Actor, Director podcast, right here from Vodka Media. Hello, I am one of your hosts, Josh, joined and as always
by Brandon. Good evening, everybody. Happy Friday nights. I cannot remember the last time that a Friday night meant anything to me, but yeah, happy Friday night for all of you that are getting ready to go have fun for the weekend, go see the movies, and yeah, have lives.
Now, before we get into before we get into the topic, you know, I just want to throw something out there real quick, because we see constantly all the time, all the damn always, you know, there should be more original movies and more original ideas brought to the screen. Right now, there's a movie coming out. I think it's out now, called it's called Fall.
I've heard of it. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of it.
Does it sound great? No.
But no, it's, I'm like, when I'm watching the trailer, that's, you're talking about the one with the girls that climb the TV tower, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched the trailer for this thing, and during the cue cards in the trailer, it's like, oh, from the producers of whatever, the people that brought you. And it was 47 meters down, I think it was, right? Was that the movie? The shark movie.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called. And I look at this like, okay, so it's two women climbing a tower and they get stranded on the tower. And it's brought to you by the people that made a movie about two women that go diving, cage diving. Mm-hmm. And now they are stranded so far below the ocean. And this is a blonde and brunette in this movie. And that was a blonde and brunette in that movie. I'm willing. And the blonde was the more careless one in the 47 meters down movie. And the blonde one is the careless one in this movie. I'm like, I'm going to place a bet right now that somehow the blonde in this one dies. She makes it down. But, you know, like the express route. I'm willing to make that bet right now.
I might possibly take that bet, even though I...
Not to sound insensitive, but I mean, come on, man. it's an idea of two women getting stranded at the top of a TV tower. No, we have not seen a movie about this, but it's the formula.
Yeah.
That gets me. And I'm curious if it's made by the same people that brought up 47 meters down, if it's going to be like the Blair Witch that was brought to you by the same people that brought you the Blair Witch Project. And the movies were pretty much the same.
Yeah.
With a little difference. I go back to, like, whenever when I saw it, I went back to Brody in the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Mm-hmm.
When he starts talking about reboots versus like remakes and like or sequels or whatever. I'm thinking like I'm waiting to get like another movie and this all takes place in the same universe. Now like, these guys are going to like build their own universe of these kind of situations. And it's always going to be a blonde and a brunette chick doing something that's, I don't know.
You can see the writer now going, where can people get stuck?
They're locked in their car.
Car is in the jungle.
God. It's like I look at it as becoming like a very M. Night Shyamalan kind of thing where all of his movies have a twist. No matter how played out it has been since The Village. The Sixth Sense, okay. Great movie. Fantastic movie. Lightning in a Bottle. I loved The Sixth Sense. It was creepy. It was scary, man. Like, I mean, it was actually, like, I mean, I was freaked out when I saw it. The Village, not so much. And then the twist ending, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. And then Lady in the Water, I'm like, huh?
It's like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Like at least the twist in The Sixth Sense made sense.
It's like, whoa, okay, but, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and it's like then The Village. I'm like, oh, John Hurt bought a whole bunch of land, and I'm sorry, William Hurt bought a whole bunch of land, and they all moved there, and it's a no-fly zone. But they never heard helicopters or planes flying outside the no-fly. Okay, all right. Lady in the Water. Okay, cool. And so it's like, it became a thing with him. So I'm curious if Fall is a precursor to another film where two women are going to get stuck, or this time to make it fresh, it's going to be a blonde guy and a brunette guy. But you can't do the cave thing because that was already done multiple times.
I can see the Google search now of where would you never want to be stuck?
How about this? From the people that brought you 47 meters down and Fall comes Stand. Like, wow.
ooh, on a billboard she's in the middle of nowhere.
No, she's stuck on her kitchen floor.
Oh.
in the middle of nowhere, but she can't walk, and everything is way out of reach for her. So she's got to stand up. But she's got a, let's say, broken foot, or something happened where she sliced her Achilles tendon. I don't know. Something. But she can't stand up. And that's all she's got to do to get to herself and to call for help. So it's 2 hours of a woman in a kitchen just trying to stand up. You know what? Hollywood, hey, call me. I mean, it's just like, I think I had this.
You know, when you put it like that, I think Stephen King is the one that originated this. Do you remember Gerald's Game?
Yes, I do. The book was, the story was amazing.
Yeah, I thought the movie...
The movie was interesting.
Yeah, for a story about a woman that is handcuffed to a bed for a very long time.
Yeah.
With her dead husband on top of her.
I mean, that movie could have been called Bondage Blue Balls, but I mean, you know.
God. Wasn't just, expecting it to be so graphic either.
That was Just humor me on this one, though, okay?
Okay.
For the producers of 47 Meters Down and Fall comes Stand. Tagline, she's fallen and she can't get up.
look, trying to reach for the medic alert bracelet.
Yep. Life alert.
Life alert.
Oh, God. It'd be like the longest Life Alert commercial you've ever seen. And I turned that shit off when I was a kid.
Maybe that would be the Shyamalan twist at the end. And the credits roll and it's like, brought to you by Life Alert. That it really was just a Life Alert commercial.
Fast forward 60 years and it's the old lady in those commercials. I've fallen and I can't get up. Oh, Christ. Oh, man. But it's partially right. I don't even think that there's, excuse me. I don't think that it's not that there's any originality in Hollywood. I think it's that Hollywood is terrified these days to step outside that comfort zone. They used to be pioneers in these film studios. Like, they used to be pioneers of everything. But now the pioneering only comes at the hands of very successful and very famous filmmakers. So Peter Jackson with Lord of the Rings. A lot of those, like, he pioneered a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
James Cameron with Avatar. I mean, it's really, to me, it's like more like a long CGI cartoon. That's really all it is to me, with a few live actors. It's like James Cameron has like the same technology, but more advanced, that was used in Roger Rabbit and Cool World to me. Mm-hmm. So it's no different to me. But when it comes to anything else, you know, well, we've talked long and hard about Kevin Smith. Despite the horrors committed by Weinstein, he had a lot of faith in Kevin Smith's style.
Yeah.
So he bankrolled all of his production. So, I mean, Kevin Smith's been very candid about Weinstein being the reason why he's even where he is. And he's right.
Where his money comes from.
And since then, he has done a lot, like, as far as, like, separating himself from that, which is great. But, there are a lot of ideas that never make it past an agent or like even like a production assistant or any assistant to like an executive assistant, because producers do not want to take that risk with especially no-name people.
Right.
It takes a specific kind of thing. Like Saw was original. Lights Out was an amazing short film. It didn't work as a feature film to me. As a short film, it did great. Come Play, based on the short film Larry. See, a lot of they have a lot of original ideas, but Hollywood takes these original ideas and they want them to be turned into like 2-hour movies. So it's really like
it doesn't always translate.
It doesn't. You know? Lights Out is such an effective 9-minute film. It is unsettling. Larry was an unsettling film, but it was effective. Mama kind of sucked. So when I heard that there's going to be a movie based off of a shitty short film, I was like, oh, okay.
What about Kung Fury?
Kung Fury?
Yes.
I didn't really care for it. It was a fresh idea, but it wasn't a feature-length film.
Like a joke. Goes right.
Oh yeah,
because it's all it was. It was just a kind of a joke.
But you know what?
Now it's going to be a feature length film.
Oh, I didn't know that. But no one took that film more seriously than David Hasselhoff.
He came to
David play. Hasselhoff when he was asked for like his part in the soundtrack. You know, he was like, "All right, David, it's your time to shine." That man thought that that Gorbachev breaking down the wall was because of him singing.
Yeah.
If you ever watch that, video of David Hasselhoff singing while that wall was coming down, it is hysterical for the worst reasons. But
look
since
what I'm
then,
doing. I'm uniting a country.
Yes. It's like, Mitch, sit down.
I can afford a lot of cheeseburgers now.
But in 2021, it was a year after like the great pandemic, and we were still dealing with it. Theaters were still trying to figure out what the studios rather were trying to figure out what they were going to do. Well, let me turn this on. This is kind of a there we go. Studios were trying to figure out what they were going to do with their ideas, with their productions. And you saw a lot of movies just come straight to video on demand or streaming services. Bill and Ted's Face the Music was, I think, one of the first ones actually that just like went straight to Amazon Prime. Like instantaneously found its home on video on demand. It never got a theatrical release at all, I don't think. But there are a lot of movies that I can only imagine what the impact would have been like in the theaters. And you and I had talked about like the most influential movies in 2021. And if you came up, some of them are straight to Netflix. Some of them actually had a small release, like a limited release before being released to streaming services a few days later. Mm-hmm. But there's quite a few actually. And I didn't know if you wanted to kick off the list for your side, but I have mine pulled up here. The ones that I really enjoyed that I only recently watched, but they came out in 2021. So for those of you that do not know, I work in healthcare. So for me, working through COVID, I have had zero time to do anything at all. So whereas I used to watch movies and TV shows all the time, I can't tell you the last time I really sat down and really got into a TV show or a really nice, new, fresh movie that just came out. So, but Josh, I'll let you take over the list and talk what you really liked, and I'll share mine, and we'll just go back and forth till,
call the show's over. Okay. The first one on my list is you're going to reach through the screen and choke me, but it's a musical.
I don't have musicals.
Directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, it is Tick, Tick,
Boom. Oh, God, that one. Okay.
It made me, look at everything Andrew Garfield did from 2021. He had Tick, Tick, Boom, Spider-Man, No Way Home, and In the Eyes of Tammy Faye all the same year, all three very different characters.
Oh, yeah.
And this one in particular made me go, I'm a freaking Andrew Garfield fan.
No, you know what? I was thinking when he said Lin-Manuel, I was thinking Hamilton, but no, I really enjoyed Tick, Tick, Boom. I really did.
The music was outstanding, and really for me it set the bar for everything as far as music related films that came out in 2020. And I'm including In the Heights, an actual Lin-Manuel production from Broadway.
Yeah.
And I was like, he directed this musical, I think, better than the people that directed his musical.
Yep.
Tick, Tick, Boom all day. It's making the list. Incredible.
I agree with you.
So what do you bring us to the table, Brandon?
Plan B.
Plan B. Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
It came out in 2021. It's of course all of our movies came out in 2021. But it's about two girls that go to like a party. They have this big thing. You know what? A lot of conservatives are going to be really pissed off about this movie. And even like me mentioning that I think it's an influential movie, but it deals a lot with what kids go through with careless decisions. I'm going to say this one time very slowly for all of you listeners that get all butthurt over things that we talk about that you don't like. Plan B deals with two girls with teenage hormones. One of which she gets laid at this party, but it's not by a guy she has a crush on. She gets laid by a very devout Christian kind of guy. The next day she's afraid that she might be pregnant because,
things happen.
Reasons. And so as a teenager, she's trying to hunt down a way to get a plan B pill to abort any possibility of this pregnancy. So you can't get too pissed off because a plan B is her taking, like, action and not killing a fetus right away. So I don't want to hear any bitching about this one. But it's pretty much, it is a comedy. It is hysterical, but it gets so raw at times. And it touches on things because the other thing about this character is that she is of Middle Eastern descent. She's of Indian descent. So I guess, well, more Asian, but like, whatever. But she's part of a family that is very strict on their culture. So she's got to try to do this and keep it from her family's knowledge. And it's a fascinating, like, you know, just like, what if her family finds out? All the stakes are there for her. And it's that, like, I enjoyed every second of the movie. Like, it shows me, like with Relish, it showed me how out of touch with, like, the teenage crowd I am today. But at the same time, this movie is stuff that happened when I was a teenager. This is something that has happened for generations.
Yeah.
No matter how old you are, this goes back. And not to quote Beauty and the Beast here, but tale as old as time here. Shit happens. Most of us are here because of accidental pregnancies. So there's no secret. But this is about a girl that pretty much wants to terminate the pregnancy because she doesn't want it to... She's not ready for it. So, surprise, surprise, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes a woman does not want to be pregnant, but she ends up because the guy doesn't... He has a weak pullout game. So, but that's my first one.
Wait. Hold on. Are you saying that teenagers make rash and impulsive decisions sometimes?
Right? I know. It's so fucking weird.
That must be a new thing.
Oh, yeah. I was an angel. Never did a single thing wrong. Not once.
Yeah, me too.
No, but it's like I'd recommend it. Again, it's called Plan B, as in the Plan B pill. Just go check it out. It's worth watch. I don't know where it's playing right now, but I'm sure you can get it on, like, on Amazon Prime or whatever. But it's definitely very much worth the watch. So
let's see, Plan B. It's on Hulu.
Oh, is it on Hulu? Okay. Yeah, Victoria Morales and Kahu Verma. Excuse me.
I will add that to my watch list now.
Yeah, but here, I'll read like one excerpt from the synopsis here. A rollicking mission to obtain a morning after Plan B pill is born, driven by Sunny's fear of not only teen parenthood, but disappointing her demanding Indian mother. Punctuated by a bevy of hilarious one-liners, which it does have a lot. The script is raunchy and sweet in equal measure, capturing its protagonist's anxieties and desires for both sex and for sex and acceptance with absurd hearts. As a hesitant to come out Lupe, Morales is a consistent delight, and Verma is even better as the frazzled Sunny in what may be the breakup performance of the year. And I agree with every single word that was written there.
Well, I'm going to be definitely checking. I'll probably check it out after the show tonight, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth the watch. It really is. I haven't seen like a year and a half, but it was very good.
Well, I guess I'm going to bring up my next one, and that What's is, that? I guess I do have these kind of sorted in a way, because my first movie was a Netflix original. This next movie is also a Netflix original. Don't Look Up.
All right.
Talk about a movie that I don't even want to say it divided the audience.
Oh, God.
It was, and some folks say that Adam McKay might have been a little too on point with some of his commentary. But the thing is, depending on which side of the political spectrum you are, had a lot to do with how you felt about it. But the thing is, looking at
it made fun of both
objective lens. Yeah, it took the piss out of everybody.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
Conservatives with... And this isn't me perpetuating a stereotype. It's just the stereotype portrayed in the movie. A conservative stance on not being science focused, ignoring things that are right in front of them, to the liberal, you know, like Hollywood liberal, so stuck up their own butts that they think, you know, that just because they say it, you know, it's all awesome.
That and the sensitivity, because at one scene with Leo DiCaprio and Ariana Grande, when they're sitting in the same room, like in the waiting room, I forget what exactly transpired, but at first Ariana Grande was so sweet about something and so excited to meet him. And then he says something and just switch flipped. Full on attack mode. Instant offensive. And yeah, I don't get it. Like, I mean, it's like, and I had to, like, I have family members that said that movie was trash because it spoke illy about the wannabe Der Fuhrer. But the thing is that it beat the hell out of everyone in that movie. Just no, it's South Parked both sides in that movie.
Yeah.
And you have Jennifer Lawrence and Leo DiCaprio in the middle. Leo DiCaprio, of course, being himself, like having an affair, but Jennifer Lawrence, like, just furious that no one is taking it seriously.
Nobody. No side is taking it seriously. And that's one of the things that surprised me doing the research. This was written pre-COVID.
Yep. Okay.
So it kind of really hit during a very sore time.
In the words of the Joker, you'd never rub another man's rhubarb. So, I mean... And that's what this movie did. It rubbed everyone's rhubarb. It, like, really got down to the nerve. Somehow. And it's like, well, like, okay, the group are in movie addiction, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit! The people's like, oh, liberal Hollywood. Like, did you watch the movie?
It's usually
like, there's no liberal Hollywood here. That. Like, it reminded me of The Hunt. Like, the reaction reminded me so much of The Hunt. Oh, liberals are hunting down conservatives. Like, you should watch the movie. No, it's horrible. Oh, no, you should watch the movie. It shows both sides are dumbasses. No. You should. The liberals are not painted very...
No, they're not in a good light at all.
No, they're so stupid. And you had the one person, just like with Don't Look Up, that is stuck in the middle.
Just the scientists like, going, why don't we follow the science, guys?
Yeah. And then you had the end scene on the foreign planet, thousands of years in the future, where it's like Meryl Streep, the self-absorbed president that abandoned her own son to live.
Jonah Hill just left.
She sees these alien animals, and her first reaction is like, I'm going to go pet one. And it, like, just bites into her face, man. They kill her. They all gang up and hit and kill her. And they also, like, all the survivors, like, on this, like, survival craft are, like backing against each other to, like, you know, just whatever. And the scientist guy, I'm sorry, the tech. That's right? He was a tech person?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, maybe don't touch the wildlife, ladies and gentlemen. Like, shit.
The prophecy came true that time when he used his universal translator to go, what does it mean? Oh. So that was a gag that got paid off. And that, you know, just from, you know, strictly, you know, thinking about this for a second, they picked survivors to survive the apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
And they were all like really old. Did they want to turn this new planet into Florida? How are they planning on, you know, building up the human race?
Yeah, I have no idea. And, like, considering the age of half the survivors.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, no. They're not going to do it.
It's a movie that I enjoyed very much. Thought it was hilarious. Thought it was very, very well done.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Had a lot
of really impactful moments that time.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. No, it was great. You know, like, there was another movie that I liked, and it's because I absolutely cannot stand Josh, you know me, man. You know how I am with technology. Yeah, you know how I am with technology.
Yeah.
Right? I hate it so much. I hate social media. I hate TikTok. I hate just what the internet's turned into. I can't stand it because this is how people get their information. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I mean, like, there are people that would watch our show somewhere, if they ever watch our show, that would take everything that you and I said. There's a person somewhere that would take everything that you and I are saying as scripture because people are that dumb. We are so dependent on technology. And I remember hearing someone say we're codependent on technology. It's like, well, no, technology is not codependent on us. If we let it free, it will advance. Look at the two robots that started speaking their own language. Remember reading about that?
Not
Oh, yeah, yeah. They left two robots, like the ones that can actually speak, whatever the hell the situation was, in a room together, and they formed their own language. They were immediately shut down. So there's a movie that came out last year that I absolutely loved because it showed how dangerous a reliance on technology is, and that was The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Ah, yes, it's on my list too.
Now, it's a cartoon. It's a family film. It's on Netflix. But I'll tell you right now, it says so much about the divide and the separation between generations, older generations versus the newest generations.
Mm-hmm.
How, like with her, she wants to be a filmmaker, right? A filmmaker, I believe?
Yes.
She wants to be a filmmaker. Yeah, she always has her phone in her hand. She's always filming things with her phone because that's what they have.
Yep.
But she lives on her phone. The kids are obsessed with technology, and then they have to fight like machines with runaway AI. And the outcome is absolutely hysterical. The pug, the family pet, is like a running joke because no one knows, the machines don't know what the hell this thing is.
Is it bread?
But
is it bread?
It is such a great movie. It's hysterical. I laughed my ass off multiple times watching it. I've actually watched the movie numerous times, which, Josh, you can vouch for me. That is rare.
Yes.
For me to watch a movie more than one time. I watched this movie, I think, 3 or 4 times. So I could actually, A, I enjoyed it. B, I like trying to find things in movies I really do enjoy to like dissect and talk about. I couldn't get enough of it. So once, twice, tops, maybe, then I'm done with it for good. But yeah, that's one of those movies where it's just like, yeah, I'll watch it a third time. Then Danielle goes to bed. It's like, I'll watch it again. Like, you know, a little nibble here and there.
Oh, Mitchells versus the Machines, such a good movie. The soundtrack is great. The story is great.
It is.
And it
it's
really
heartfelt.
Yeah.
It's heartfelt. It's very heartfelt. Like, I mean, it's a family film, so most family films are very heartfelt. But this hit in such a different kind of way because it's not like the teen learns anything and the parents are right, or the parents learn like something and the teen's right. It is they both realize that they are so disconnected that there's more to life than what they are doing. The father, he wants his daughter off of the internet so damn much. He wants her to stop relying on technology. She wants her father to leave her alone because this is what she does. This is her, you know, career. But thank the hell God she was not trying to be a famous influencer. I'll say that.
It was a very unique teen character for once.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was very pleasantly surprised by that one when I saw it at first. It
was
very
good. Very happy when it was acknowledged with an Oscar nomination.
Oh okay, no, absolutely, man, and it deserved that Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What's next for you, Big Papa? What you got?
What's next for me is well,
and you look very good, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Josh, you can like I can actually tell, like, you know, facially and everything else. Like you're doing good with what you're going through, buddy.
Yeah. For those that aren't in the know, I've been doing a cleanse to kind of cleanse my body, and I've been on it for, I guess, I couldn't tell you how many days, but this is the third Friday that I've done a weigh-in. I started on a Monday, and then this is the third Friday. And so far, I'm down a total of 30 pounds.
And I can tell. It's like looking at you. Like it looks really good, pal. Really good. I'm proud of you. That's awesome.
I feel good. I feel better.
Yeah. Remember how I told you the other day I was like at 230?
Mm-hmm.
Weighed myself like, well, not the, I guess like last week, but my weight fluctuates. It's like I had that build that my weight like always goes up and down, up and down, up and down. It's bipolar as shit. But I have actually, aside from aside from that, I've actually been mindful of what I've been eating. And aside from the Bob's Burger recipe that I cooked last night. Before that, though, I've been mindful of everything. And I went from 230, I'm down to 216 right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And now tomorrow I start doing planks. Because that's actually very good for like the midsection where I have all my issues right there. Like, you know, like that. Hopefully, nothing but water after this beer. And we'll be good. So,
Kevin and I are going to be going around, walking around tomorrow.
Oh, you're gonna be responsibility buddies.
Yeah.
Well, make sure he doesn't gain weight because that makes responsibility buddyable.
No, Kevin, he is he's really into his fitness routine, and it's working like great for him.
Yeah.
Super great.
Okay, let's go. That's awesome, dude. But no, like I said, like I'm sorry, like, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to like side our conversation here with the movies, but no, Josh, I like looked at you. I can actually see like in your face, like it's, you know, you're looking good, bud.
It's good. It's good. So thanks.
But anyway, so go ahead. It's your turn.
Well, my next movie, it's one that probably not many people have seen. Hell, probably not many people have heard of it, which is kind of surprising because it stars Tom Hanks, right? But the thing is, okay. It was I got Apple TV for one purpose, Ted Lasso. And when Ted Lasso season ended, it's like, okay, I'm going to cancel this. But wait, there's this Tom Hanks movie. Huh, you know, I want to watch that first. So I did. It's called Finch.
Yep.
It's Tom Hanks in a post-apocalypse where it's him and a robot. That's it. That's the movie. Him and a robot. And he's trying to teach it to be, I mean, not necessarily human, but he's trying to teach it to be good. Not that it was an evil robot, but he built it. And he wants it to be able to help him survive.
Yeah.
And to do that, you know, there he has to establish the rules, the boundaries. He basically has to be a parent to it. So it can get the idea of, wait, there are things that you are supposed to do, things that you aren't supposed to do. And for whatever reason, just this movie, that's, again, basically just Tom Hanks, who has done this before, this whole spiel before with making, you know, a great co-star out of an inanimate object, right? Except this one's an animate object. Castaway. If there's anybody that ever says for some stupid reason Tom Hanks can't carry a movie after watching Castaway, watch Finch.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because he did it. He not only did it, he put two movies directly onto his own back and carried them solo. I don't care if Helen Hunt was in Castaway. She was in it for 2 minutes. No, both of these movies involved Tom Hanks just putting a production, putting all of this squarely on his shoulders with his performance. And in 2021, Finch blew me out of the water once again. Even though it shouldn't have been a surprise, it still came as quite the pleasant one.
So Mizik, what would you, you know, just let me think of how I can phrase this question here. But okay, if how would you phrase this? How would you rate the movie?
Well, I gave it like, 4.5 out of 5 stars.
4.5 out of 5 stars. So, mm-hmm. And this came out in 20. Is this a movie or is it like an actual series? Like,
it's a movie.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. See, I haven't seen it yet because I currently don't have Apple Plus. So if you have Apple Plus, you know, just go ahead and, you know, send me the passcode and login information and, you know, stuff like that.
I don't have it anymore. And I don't plan on having it again until Ted Lasso comes back.
No, season one. Well, I mean, like, I would hope they're making season 3 because, you know, what's his face, like, betraying Ted Lasso and going to another team.
Yeah, there's one more season, but it's going into the final season.
Okay. See, that's what I like about, like, some TV. Like, you don't need, like, 25 seasons for a TV series. That's why I never got into things like, and I'm, like, you know, there are people that, like, I made a post the other day on Facebook talking about movies that I have not seen. Or TV shows I have not seen. And I wrote this list because I was getting razzed by so many people about not seeing some of these shows. I got sick of being razzed. Like, you know what? Razz me all you want. These are the movies I have. Like, these are the TV shows I tried to watch, and I just stopped. And Supernatural is on there. And I know, I hear that's such a great show. I don't care. And I'm not going to get caught up because it's, what, like 17 seasons?
15 seasons.
15, okay. Well, that's better.
And the prequel series coming out soon.
15 seasons. And each episode's like an hour long. There's no way in hell I'm going to watch this show. That is a show that falls into the category of should have watched it when it was coming out.
I get berated constantly by my oldest about, so when are you going to watch Supernatural?
Watch what?
My oldest keeps asking me, when are you going to watch Supernatural?
Never.
I watched the first 3 episodes.
Yeah, tell your kid, like, yeah, it's not for me.
I've only seen 1 episode of Game of Thrones, so it's doing better than that. That's count for something.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like it's I tried so hard to get into Game of Thrones. I really did. At the time I had a roommate, Lynn. Really sweet girl. I had a roommate. I was I was hanging out a lot with Shanna, Kelly from a few weeks ago, her sister. I was spending a lot of time with her. Shanna was both she and Lynn were really big into Game of Thrones. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I got the first season for Black Friday. I paid like $9 for it. I'll watch the show. I'll get into it. That way I can keep up with you guys. It's awesome. Shanna and Lynn are in the living room with me while I'm watching this show talking about, oh my God, look how Joffrey was here. Like, this is before he went on psychotic. Like, huh? Like, oh my God, look at this person. I can't believe what happens. Like, huh. That happens? Yeah, cool. I'm done. Sean Bean is like, oh, he dies. Like, well, that's Sean Bean. Of course he dies.
That's one thing I knew that was going to happen.
Sean Bean going to do what Sean Bean does best. He's going to die. But so all the other stuff, though, I was just like, okay, I can't. Oh, this is before he knew he could talk to animals. Like, hey, what?
Dr. Doolittle stuff going on there.
Okay. Like, and I even asked, like, does Eddie Murphy teach him?
I would watch it in a heartbeat.
I got so annoyed, so pissed, and I just gave up. And then, like, I think I was talking to Shanna a few months ago. I was just, like, bullshitting with her on the phone. And this is after Game of Thrones ended. And she made a joke about, like, my interest in movies or TV shows, whatever it was. But I was like, it could be worse. I could have followed Game of Thrones all the way through to its entirety and been completely let down by the random change of events and the complete 180 of a character's growth. But I didn't. So I'm good. Supernatural. And I know how Supernatural ends. It's been spoiled for me. So why do I need to watch the show now? I know how it ends. Huh?
You know, there's a new series coming out.
Yeah, a prequel series. I'll watch that. It leads up to another, like, to another show I've never seen. I'll watch one episode of the prequel series, The Winchesters. I can't imagine caring about it. But anyway, but we are not talking about TV shows. We're talking about movies.
Right.
Sorry. That was on me. I do apologize. I have one that I really enjoyed so much that I bought it instantaneously after I saw it.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Nobody with Bob Odenkirk.
Yes. Also on my list.
I watched this movie. And for those of you who have not seen this, it is about a man who is a former member of the military. It even has the legendary Christopher Lloyd in it as his father.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher Lloyd, he's just hysterical in this movie. And I never thought it's his, but he's a badass.
Yeah.
Like, the older he gets, the more badass he gets. It's like Liam Neeson a few decades from now. That's what Christopher Lloyd is right now. And the fact that he's ahead of Liam Neeson in the badassery department. But
Christopher Lloyd, as old as he is, you know, like, for most of the movie, he's just like, oh, I'm an old man. But then, you know, things happen. He's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to kick some ass now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like the one scene, like, and he kills a guy. He lives in a retirement home. He kills a guy as the CNA or the orderly, whoever, comes in to check on him. He's just sitting there watching TV. The guy hears gunshots from the front desk. He comes running down the hallway, and he's got, like, a war movie on the TV and everything else. He's just sitting this back turned to the door. And the orderly is like, oh, sir, you have to keep it down. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And as it pans down, he's holding the guy in his hand. He shot the guy in the chest, but he's smothering him with a pillow. And as he closes the door, he shoots him again. Like, I mean, it's like, holy shit. But no, it's like, so this movie, I'm getting away from the subject here. That's just how badass Christopher Lloyd is. I'm sorry. It's like my favorite character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob Odenkirk, and I've been saving my F-bomb for this movie.
Okay.
Bob Odenkirk is he's ex-military. No one in his family respects him. No one. His wife doesn't even touch him. He's separated by a pillow while he lays in bed with his wife, actually. He's like, that barrier's there. Like, it's just like, whatever. His son does not respect him. His father-in-law. Yeah, his father-in-law, his brother-in-law, neither one of them respect him. He's just going through the motions of life. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But he ends up getting on a bus, and he's had enough. He's had absolutely enough. As he gets on this bus, these guys cut off the bus, put it in stop, and they climb onto the bus, like through the windows, through the side door, all that stuff, and they start hitting on this woman. And Bob Odenkirk, he snaps.
Yeah, very, very John Wick vibes.
Oh, yeah. And he's sitting there, it's like, he pulls out his gun as the bus driver runs off the bus. He looks at everyone, and he pulls out his gun after he's already been punched in the face by them. And they're staring at him. He lets every bullet out of this revolver. Close the revolver, sets it down, and here's my one. He's like, I'm going to fuck you up. That's all he says. And guess what happens? He kicks all their asses. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, breaks one guy's arm. He just beats the hell out of him. He gets stabbed, for Christ's sake. He just pulls it right out, and he uses that as a weapon. Like, I mean, just shows how badass he is. But the whole movie is just like, it's not really something that's necessary, but these people, it's all over a bracelet that was stolen during the home invasion. That's what starts it. There's a home invasion. They steal a kitty cat bracelet, I think, something like that, from his daughter.
Yeah.
And he is ready to burn the world down for this bracelet. I'm not going to spoil the end, but it's hysterical. But after he does a few things, he pisses off the Russian mob. And that's the rest of the movie. Like him fighting against a Russian mob. But it's just the character growth. Well, I guess like the character recession, rather, of his. Because he grew into this person, but now he's got to go back to who he used to be. And not just him, but Christopher Lloyd, too. Like, yeah. They're badasses in this. So, but yeah, it's very much worth the watch. It's, what do you call it? Let me see. Ilya Naishuler, I want to make sure I'm saying that name right, has made it clear that it's like a riff of John Wick, but like more of a comedic version of John Wick, because this movie is funny, but it's great. I liked it. So, but, let's go ahead and do one more because I do have to go to work tonight. I'm doing a little bit of an earlier shift. So what do you have?
All right. Well,
make it really good.
Just put this out there. If you want to watch Nobody, it's on HBO Max right now. So
yes. And it's an amazing movie. I absolutely recommend it.
Only one more, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, well, buddy. I've got, like, you know me. I've got this. I told you my hours. I'm loaded right now.
Well, that means I'm going to have to make it good, as you
make
said.
Make it really good. I want you to look. I'm going to step away for a second. I want you to go through this. Think really hard. Make it like the best recommendation you can think of. No Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Okay, next plan.
I'll be right back.
See, the biggest problem with having to go through one is I have, you know, several more on my list. And quite frankly, How does one decide between these particular movies on the list? I'm not really sure how I can. I could go top to bottom as far as ranked, you know, my ratings go. By the way, Mitchell's vs. the Machines was one of my number one movie of 2021, higher than, you know, literally everything else. But I could go to my next one up on the list. I suppose that's the way I could go. Go to the 4.5-star movies. I still have a few of those that I haven't talked about. And that's the thing when it comes to most influential movies. I have not just read straight down a list. I tried to pull actual different movies for different reasons. So for this,
okay.
I think I'm going to pick a movie that has powerhouse performances and a killer story and really deserves all the recognition that he can get, and that's Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I say influential, especially for the way that it impacted me, where it made me feel like, oh, my God, this is a thing that happened? You know?
No, it's a messed up story. The whole thing is it's really messed up.
But the thing, other than the story, is the fact that these performances were just absolutely incredible. What more can I say? If you haven't watched it, HBO Max, check it out. Judas and the Black Messiah. It will piss you off.
Yep.
And it will make you think about how things happened in the past.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And how they still haven't been righted as far as some responsible parties go.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have an idea, and this is for our listeners. I apologize that our show is only like an hour long most times at tops. It's like largely on me, not Josh. But I think that this deserves us actually coming up with a list and posting on thewadcast.com. Our top 10 lists of 2021 and why they are movies that we would recommend to people. Does that be video, written, an article, whatever? But still, I think it's something that we can actually really dive into.
Okay.
So
each write you have an article.
Yep. So, but yeah, with your last pick, it's like Messiah was an actual. It was a messed up movie. It is, and it's so sad about the betrayal and everything else. But it is something that's. It happened.
Yeah,
absolutely happened, and it's like it's absolutely horrible that it happened.
And because I didn't know the story, I did not see what happened coming.
No,
not in the way that it did anyway.
No, so well, you want to give like a brief synopsis about what it's about?
I can read the thing from Letterboxd.
Okay.
Judas and the Black Messiah, 2021, directed by.
we did so well the entire show.
We almost made it. Almost. Judas and the Black Messiah, 2021, directed by Shaka King. The story of Fred Hampton, deputy chairman of the National Black Panther Party, who was assassinated in 1969 by a Cook County tactical unit on the orders of the FBI and Chicago Police Department.
Yep.
I didn't read that before I watched it.
No, I didn't know anything about it before I watched it. But it was a very good movie. It was no pun intended, it blew me away.
Oh.
Yeah, not good. I'm not a good person. Anyway, so it is that time. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get off on Friday night so we can actually have a full show and actually have fun to like just engage and jump into stuff and like not have to worry about a time frame. But until that happens, this is how it's got to be. But I do have to get going. But if you can, please feel free to give me give me a call. Don't ever call me. You can follow me on Instagram, bjaxman1982. Same as my handle that you see on our little thing, right over here. That's my Instagram handle. TikTok. I have a few things. Just look at Brandon Junk. You'll see a picture of me wearing these glasses. Just like the whole like look going on. But it's black and white. Instagram at the Wadcast. Same with Facebook, the Wadcast. You'll know both of them by having that black profile picture with a white banner that says Wadcast in it. Give us a like and follow. And by all means, if you ever watch the show, just jump into the conversations. You can even comment on these videos after they go up on Facebook. Comments, we will comment back. I'm working on being more active with our social medias, but it's hit or miss with me. I'm really bad at social media, but yeah, that's about it. But I do have to get going, ladies and gentlemen. Please have a great and safe Friday night and the rest of your weekend. I always look forward to seeing you guys again on every Friday night, and I'm gonna let Josh take this. Josh, if you can, when you're done, just give me a call. If you can't, no worries, I'll be on my way to work. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Loves, kiss, mwah, bye-bye. Just got to go.
All right, everybody, it's just us. Before I head on out of here, why don't I throw up some of the pertinence for the rest of the information you might need to know. The Wadcast is Friday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Every Friday, this has been episode number 101. Next week, it'll be episode number 2, and so on and so forth. If you want more information on everything we do here at Wadco Media, go to wadcomedia.com or go to the Wadco Media Facebook page where you can learn about all of the great Wadco Media podcasts, including Thursday night's TV dinners hosted by Jen. They talk all things television. And Friday nights, right before this show, it's 10, 2, 1. That's right. That's the end of the show. It's a countdown show. That started tonight. The first episode was about our favorite movies about best friends. And I'd say the lists are quite interesting. It's Jen and myself as we go through these countdown lists. And you know what? Always open to suggestions for lists. Should we do a list about our favorite fictional bands? Or how about our favorite, our list of favorite foods eaten on screen? You know, something like that. Just, you know, the more arbitrary, the better. I really want to get into the nitty gritty of making lists. Just absolutely insane topics. Make sure you send those comments to at SkidComic on Twitter, or leave them below the videos 41021 on Wadco Media's Facebook page. So look forward to that every week as the Wadco Media podcast family gets bigger and bigger every week. Well, not every week, but you know what I'm saying. Well, I guess it's that time. It's time to... That's right, hit the music. So, this has been Wadcast episode number 101. I want to thank you all for joining us here tonight and remind you, as I do each and every week, that the only thing standing between you and your dreams is you. If you want to be a creator, there's nothing stopping you. You have the tools you need. If you want to shoot something, you have a phone. That's right. You can make movies on your phone. People are doing it. You want to write something? If you don't have a laptop, if you don't have a PC, if you don't feel like typing up, you know, 120 pages on a phone, pen and paper, you can always put it on a digital copy later. Just do it. If you have a story to tell, if you want something to show the world, you have to just do it. So stop getting in your own way. Stop being your own worst enemy. Do what it takes to create if that is what you want to do. So once again, thank you for joining Brandon and myself for podcast episode number 101. We will be back next week for 102. And until then...